really each one that learns new information and knows that the choices that are there and then makes a choice, I always count as a huge success, you know, and that, I guess that's the teacher in me, right? One more person feeling that they've learned something and can make a better choice to improve their lives and the lives of their children and family is an impact. It is a drop in the bucket.
From Dirigo Collective, this is Renegades and Mavericks, sharing the stories of people interrupting the status quo and breaking new ground in their field. Lee Durie's story begins in a small suburb of Philadelphia called Valley Forge, earning both his bachelor's and master's degrees before moving down to Florida to become a teacher. Soon after moving down to Florida, he discovered the Libre Institute, and he wanted to make a bigger impact through that. The Libre Institute is a 501c3 nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that operates to both engage and inform America's Hispanic community on the many benefits of a free and open society. Lee involved himself with Libre as a way to help the Hispanic community, paying homage to his own family's immigration history, eventually rallying behind big causes like the impact a zip code does not have on a child's education. I sat down with Lee to learn about his work and get his take on the major issues facing Hispanic communities. This is Lee Durie, and he is a Maverick. So Lee, I would love for you to share your story and your educational experience.
I taught middle school special education for a number of years in what's called a self-contained class. So these were students who were not part of the mainstream curriculum. The curriculum was modified with accommodations and very much individualizing education. After 4 or 5 years doing that, I became an education consultant and was really honored to be able to travel around to about 20 states and work with students and teachers and school board members and community members to improve education in various places. And what's really great in living in Florida as part of that education journey is we decided to homeschool our children and also participate in Florida's dual enrollment options. And there's just so many things about that education journey that I get excited to discuss and to share with other people, not just in Florida, but across the country.
So I taught public school K-12 orchestra for 8 years, and it's one thing to work for educational organizations, but to be an educator first, knowing what it's actually like to be a classroom teacher and then putting into practice is so crucial.
And thank you so much for being an orchestra teacher. Part of my education experience was a member of the elementary school orchestra playing the snare drum and the cymbal. I did not keep up with it. I wanted to sit behind a drum kit and play loud, banging rock music, not stand up on the snare drum and play Tchaikovsky. But I probably should have stuck with it a little bit longer.
It's never too late. You can always go back. You can always go back. That's my rule. Can you give us some of the background of the why of the Libre Institute, and what void was it filling in serving the Hispanic community?
So the Libre Institute is a 501c3 nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. And just to give the full picture, it is the sister organization of the Libre Initiative, which is a C4 entity that engages a little bit more on legislation and policy efforts. So the Libre Institute and the Libre Initiative were founded to work with Hispanic individuals, businesses, and communities across the country to help them learn and thrive and be more prosperous and less dependent on government. So the void that was filled really was to be the voice, the trusted partner and preferred partner in the Hispanic community to help empower individuals on a principles of a free society and an open society rather than a government control top-down society.
How did you get to it? How did you guys connect?
There are two folks in my role, deputy directors, who oversee the Americans for Prosperity branded folks. One deputy oversees our brand known as Concerned Veterans for America that does outreach specifically to veterans and active duty military, dealing with foreign affairs, VA issues, things like that, veterans' mental health issues. And then I'm overseeing the Libre team. And what's been really interesting, just in terms of personal growth and professional growth to connect with it, is over the last 12 to 14 months, it has reconnected me in a much deeper way with my own family's immigration history. And we deal with immigration issues, obviously, as part of Stand Together, as part of the Libre Initiative and Libre Institute. But the process of learning how America works is a very complicated process. And telling that story of immigration and, you know, coming here is only the first part of the journey. Actually figuring out how things work, whether it's in this case for the majority of our conversation, the education system and the schooling options. I'm a third generation American. My great grandfather came here from Poland and Russia, you know, during that wave of immigration. And working with the Libre team in Florida and across the country has really opened my eyes up, as well as my mind and my heart, to the issues and barriers that people face.
What I'd love to hear, though, is like from your experience, how you've personally seen the organization's impact in action, you know, especially in the realm of education. Maybe that's in Florida, or maybe that's on a national scale. Like, what have you seen as far as the impact from the Institute?
I think within my first 2 weeks working with the organization 2 years ago, they were holding a citizenship celebration night. So I was able to drive down to Miami to our local office that we have down there, and several folks who had recently completed a citizenship class that our team was offering sat for the citizenship exam and passed. So we were having a celebration to welcome them as newly naturalized American citizens. And that is just a real clear, specific example of the impact that we see. And those citizenship classes and civics classes happen across the country in about a dozen states where Libre is active, and in some states where there are Hispanic communities but no formal Libre presence. We still offer, of course, in the last 12 months, online classes. But the Libre Institute also offers English language learning classes. So people who struggle with English, whether they're recent immigrants or if they've been here for a while but you still struggle with English, we offer free classes to help overcome that barrier. Civics classes, citizenship classes, financial literacy classes, entrepreneurship classes, which are super exciting because we have examples of people who complete a financial literacy or an entrepreneurship class, and then they actually go start a business. And actually tying those things together with the citizenship class, we had one gentleman in Miami who had done the citizenship class, become a citizen, take the entrepreneurship class, start a catering business, and eventually he was able to go full-time as an independent caterer.
You mentioned, though, you know, the last 12 months you offer these online classes and ELL classes, and especially now that you can get a digital reach at a time that you were only present in 12 states, now reaching the other 38 states, did you notice a growth in engagement and enrollment during that time?
So it was a little bit of a two steps forward, one step back kind of experiment, like a lot of businesses and community organizations. Last March, April, May, we had to dig in and examine and explore the model we were using. In the last, I'd say, 4 to 5 months of 2020, and then the first quarter of 2021, it was much different. People were attending Zoom classes. We were actually able to get over the idea of geography so that if we were having a class in Orlando and a trainer was coming in, obviously the trainer could just Zoom in from wherever he or she was. But also the attendees weren't limited now to a comfortable driving time, which in Orlando, Florida, it could take you 35 or 40 minutes to drive 15 miles, depending on traffic that night. But we've been able to have people join from Virginia, where we also have a state chapter, and collaborate with each other, or people join from Michigan, or people join from Texas and do interviews and collaborate. We obviously were not able to do that when we were thinking strictly in-person, local offices and classes, especially now that in Florida, we're reopening and going back to using classes and having in-person meetings. we're including Zoom links still as hybrid options so that people can still join from wherever they are or watch the recording later on and still interact with us.
How large are these communities you're going to when you're doing this? And like, how many people are showing up for these classes?
We could generally host somewhere 20, 30 people comfortably at a time. There are some places where we don't have offices. So in working through next steps, we're going to be looking at partnering with organizations, say, such as a local YMCA or library or other place where people are gathering, where, again, if we can do it in terms of 20 or 30 at a time, each family probably has one or more children in school, but we continue doing the hybrid and putting things on Facebook or onto our websites, really each one that learns new information and knows that the choices that are there and then makes a choice, I always count as a huge success, you know, and that, I guess that's the teacher in me, right? One more person feeling that they've learned something and can make a better choice to improve their lives and the lives of their children and family is an impact. It is a drop in the bucket. But if you multiply that to, let's say we do that 10 times over the summer in 10 different municipalities or cities, and our colleagues in other state chapters are doing similar things or other things to get the message out about education, freedom, and choice in their states, that eventually has a huge impact. And moving forward, that impact gets seen. And I guess I'd like to throw out numbers. So for instance, in Florida, there's 210,000 approximately students who do that open enrollment I talked about. There are 110,000 students who are officially homeschooling. Those are huge numbers. There's hundreds of thousands of students in magnet schools and in charter schools and then in dual enrollment and then doing virtual, students using scholarships. So any additional family who learns about these choices, the ripple effect of that benefit is huge. And that's what we work for every day.
Yeah. And on top of that, you know, just especially for families that are not English or fluent in English, once they attend that in person and learn about it, they can now go and tell those other families and have it be a bit of a trickle effect and just spread the message easier and to not have that barrier. That seems almost impossible if it was just online or through websites, but it's amazing to see that impact in person, and breaking that barrier is really a critical part for Libre.
And there really isn't a substitute for meeting in person. One of our classes actually is the case for education freedom. So we can also talk about that, or we did myths and facts of charter schools. And, you know, quick asterisk caveat for all of the listeners who aren't in Florida. Yes, the rules are different in different states. So myths and facts about Florida charter schools might be slightly different than myths and facts in Georgia or in New York, or open enrollment in New York is different than open enrollment in Florida. But we want to give people the tools to empower themselves so they know where to look and they know who to ask and they know where to ask. And also, you know, don't stop asking until you get the information that will help you and your family and your children.
So on the website for the Libre Institute, under the education pillar, your organization discusses the zip code issue. And I just love to go in depth on this issue in order to just truly get a clear understanding. You've discussed this a little bit earlier on, but if you can go more in depth and so we can truly understand the impact a zip code does have on a child's education.
Absolutely. And I know it's a catchphrase, but so everybody understands, essentially, in talking about the public school systems specifically here, it's all based on geography, right? You know, here's the neighborhood. In Florida, districts are countywide districts, generally up north. They're town by town or townships or something. But you measure the population in a given zip code or given area, and you say, this is where they're going to go to elementary school or middle school or high school. It affects everything. It affects the transportation, the schedules, all that. And those are all threads to pull out in the public education system, probably for a separate show. And so what open enrollment does is it counteracts the zip code. You can sign up for a school in the same school district and go someplace else. Again, this is a really important thing. You can, but you have to be able to know that. You have to know where the forms are. You need to know, does my district provide transportation for that one? And some districts do and some don't. So even in outside Tampa Bay, there is a district that is, Citrus County. It's a little bit smaller than a Palm Beach or a Pinellas or an Orange County. In talking with a school board member there, I know that they do work to provide transportation for students who are choosing whether to use open enrollment or they're going to a magnet school or a charter school. So what that does in effect is it opens up the opportunities. It breaks the barriers for the students and the parents who feel like, this is my school, right? I live on Jones Street, so I have to go to Jones Elementary School and I have no choice. But what I really want to do is go to Smith Elementary School for whatever reason. They have a language immersion program or a really cool marine biology program, or it's just on my mom and dad's way to work and it's easier for them to drop me off there. Whatever the reason is, with open enrollment, you can make that choice. Without open enrollment, you can't. And so unless there's equity of resources and equity of teachers and equity of programs and curriculum, then you have an inequitable school system. A lot of other things push against that. So part two of that answer is that's also why you have magnet schools and charter schools and homeschools and virtual schools and dual enrollment, is because all of these options exist and they all, I think, when fully embraced, will truly transform and finally get us into welcome to 21st century learning.
Well, speaking of 21st century learning, what are some of the most effective ways for us as a country, but really on an individual level, to educate ourselves about what the Libre Institute is working to achieve? You know, whether it's on the local level or the national level, what are some of those ways that we can really educate ourselves accurately?
I think in this day and age, you really start by going to the website and or the social media accounts, right? So the Libre Institute's website is thelibreinstitute.org. Good on us to keep it simple and direct. From there, obviously, there's all the standard, the About Us events. There's an events tab, which is really a great place because then you could click on each individual state and drill down to not just what the Libre Institute nationally is doing, but what's happening in Texas. The Libre Institute has a Facebook page, and off of that Facebook page, the Florida team and the Colorado team have state groups. If you're looking at the sister organization, the Libre Initiative, you can also check them out on Facebook and even just maybe search for your state, right? So search the Libre Initiative Florida, the Libre Initiative Texas, et cetera. And drop a comment to us, follow the page and post a comment. And then if you see an event and it's online, join it. If you are in a community that has one, we've started doing classes live in many of our states. If you see that something is advertised and you can get yourself or a friend to the Orlando office, for instance, or the North Atlanta office for our Georgia team, Go to the event, see what it's like. If you see us, at a school doing a community fair, stop by and say hi. We're very friendly people. So I think that's the best way to get educated is just visit us on social media and then connect with us.
What is ahead for the Libre Institute, both for the education pillar, which is obviously something I'm passionate about, but also across all four pillars, the organization, as well as the sister initiative?
So I'm going to give the simple answer of I just think more good things are ahead. So as states are opening up and people are leaving sort of the isolated Zoom world, more of our offices and communities across the country are having events, whether it's our formal workshops or partnering with other groups, partnering with churches, partnering with community organizations to be out at those fairs and those festivals and being part of the community. Again, you can usually spot us. We've got a Libre Institute or Libre Initiative shirt on or a banner with us, so we're really easy to spot. But I think in terms of education specifically, you know, we're going to keep working with the community members in K-12. We're going to keep pushing the message of opportunities exist, and we want every student to have access to the learning environment that is best for him or her. Everybody learns differently. For families, we are going to continue offering the ESL classes and civics classes and citizenship classes, financial literacy classes, and we're also going to be getting creative. So one of my colleagues is trying to connect folks with healthcare and healthcare innovation and things like that. And so we are creatively launching a healthcare fitness class as well as a healthcare and nutrition class, just to get people into the office or into the local YMCA and talk about taking care of yourself and talk about cooking. And then, you know, we'll talk about, you know, where do these recipes come from, and eventually be able to connect that to healthcare and telehealth and other options, not just employer-based healthcare and things like that, but what other options exist to take care of yourself and your family. Obviously, a large part, you know, one of the large pillars is dealing with immigration. So the Libre Institute, as well as the Libre Initiative, the sister organization, do a lot to talk about immigration issues, border security issues, visa issues. And again, the best place for the starting point is the website, both for Libre Institute and Libre Initiative. You know, check out the news releases, the press releases, things like that. You should definitely actually go to social media accounts and find and follow Daniel Garza, who is the president of the Libre Initiative and Libre Institute. He does a lot of interviews, really explains issues clearly. But we're all on social media talking about these things.
So, Lee, we ask all of our guests at the end of every episode, based on your experience, you know, both starting as a teacher, now working for this amazing nonprofit organization, what would you like to impart on the next generation of Renegades and Mavericks, specifically those who really want to pursue social justice, immigration equality, nonprofit work, and really those who believe in equality of education, either at the K-12 level or as adults as well?
Well, I would say things like, first of all, believe in yourself and believe in people. I know a lot of times problems seem quite complicated, but the solutions aren't necessarily as complicated as they might appear to be. So believe in yourself. And if you feel like you've got a solution or something to share to help yourself succeed and help other people succeed, take the risk, go for it and try something. This is a country of opportunity. It's a country of innovators and entrepreneurs and people who take risks and try something new to help them and their community. Again, you'll see these stories if you go to our social media and our websites, but I think that's what I would try to impart to the next generation, whether it's my own kids or people I'm meeting. Is there's a lot of us who sit around thinking about stuff, and we think, wouldn't it be great if? Well, you know what? It would be great. Do. Go ahead and do it. Give it a shot. Become part of something. Go to a class. Learn a new skill. Partner with somebody in your community. If you want to make a difference, go make the difference and help break those barriers and help other people succeed, because that's really what it's all about with our organization, to just believe in people, help them break those barriers and succeed while helping others succeed.
To learn more about the Libre Institute and all of its positive impact for the Hispanic community, visit thelibreinstitute.org. Also, please go ahead and check out the Facebook pages for the Libre Institute, as well as our Facebook groups, Learn Everywhere, as well as Prende Donde Está for the Hispanic community. Additionally, the Libra Institute and Americans for Prosperity Foundation are hosting an Education Freedom event on June 23rd, 2021 in Miami. Information for that event is in our show notes at renegadesandmavericks.com. Renegades and Mavericks is a production of Dirigo Collective. This episode is hosted and produced by Kevin Oates, copywriting by Jeremy Glass, and project management from Claire Clausen.